Let's give our attention then to Genesis chapter 24 at verse 1. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Let me read that again. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Well, friends, after these chapters in the book of Genesis and after many months of studying the life of Abraham, we come now to the point where Moses, the author of this part of Scripture, tells us that Abraham was now old. We're coming to the end. He's old and he has literally, as the Hebrew says, entered into days. There have been so many days of his life that he's gone through and experienced. He's old. As verse 24 begins, Abraham is about 140 years old. We know from the next chapter that he dies at the age of 175. But here at the point of being 140 years old, boys and girls, God wants to tell us something about the life of Abraham. Now, I'm always fascinated by reading those summaries of the lives of the kings as you read them in the book of Kings and Chronicles. You know, after the kings have their reign for however many years, then comes that divine inspired account and review of their lives. This king did this, but he didn't do this. And the Lord says he followed after the ways of his father, either David or Jeroboam, depending on how that king lived. But that was the divine summary of the lives of those men. I sometimes wonder what the divine summary of my life will be. What would God say about your life in a summary statement? After all has been said, after all has been done, what would be the divine verdict on your life? Whether that life lasts till tomorrow, or for another 100 years for some of you. At the end of it, what will God have to say about your life? Well, here at the end of the life of the father of the faithful, the divine summary of his life is given. And it's a beautiful summary. These are beautiful words. And it's the sheer beauty of them that drew me to them and not wanting to skip over them in any kind of cursory way. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him. It's so simple, but it's so beautiful. It's so complete. The Lord had blessed him. He was blessed. This is going to be a very simple sermon. Abraham, after 140 years of his life, God said he was blessed. That's the great good of a human existence. The summum bonum, the great good. He was blessed. He had God's blessing. Now, God's blessing could be described in many ways. But in essence, it's being right with God. Being the friend of God, as Abraham was called. Knowing that in every circumstance and in every day of your life, God's face is shining upon you. That's the great benediction, isn't it? When God put his name and put his blessing on the people in Numbers chapter 6, that the countenance, the face of the Lord would shine upon the people. That's blessing. You remember that the life of Abraham began in our study back in Genesis chapter 12. And how did it begin? Well, it began as we now see it ending, with blessing. The Lord said to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curse you, I will curse. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. And the blessing that Abraham received was ultimately God Himself. I am your shield and your very great reward. The greatest blessing that we have is God Himself. That we know Him, that we have fellowship with Him, that we can enjoy Him as we glorify Him forever and ever. But as we think about blessing and a blessed life, as we see it here in the life of Abraham, I think an important distinction needs to be made. We need to make a distinction between blessings and being blessed. We need to make a distinction between blessings and being blessed. Blessings can come in all sorts of ways. There are many material and physical blessings that we have. In the church, people enjoy many spiritual blessings, being together with God's people, hearing the word, singing together. And of course, ultimately, there are saving blessings in Jesus Christ alone. But we can't make a one-to-one correspondence in this life between blessings in many ways and being blessed. The Bible tells us that someone can have many blessings and not himself or herself be blessed. Do you see that? You understand? That's what Jesus' point is when he says that God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust, and the sun shine on the righteous and on the wicked alike. Those are great blessings. You can have many blessings, but not be blessed. And you can tell already what the other side of the coin is, can't you? That it is possible in this life to have very few of the blessings that people might see or crave, and yet be a very blessed person. Think of Job, who had so much taken from him, so that he was reduced just to that pustulent heap of a man on an ash heap. And he was blessed. If we're really understanding that book, he was blessed. And at the end of the book, he understood that through it all, he was blessed. Didn't Jesus say at the end of that great blessing passage in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you? Who sees those things as blessings? And yet, the person who is experiencing them for Christ's sake, Jesus says, you are blessed. And so you may not have many blessings as people think of them, and may still be a very blessed person. When we think of blessing and what it means to be truly blessed, we have to understand that true blessing only comes in one way. It comes in Jesus Christ. It comes through His work. And it comes through the God-given gift of faith in His work. If you're trusting in Christ, then you are blessed. You are blessed. Abraham, it says here of Abraham, not that he received many blessings, but he is the object. He was blessed. He was blessed. Over and above, you see all the cattle and all the servants and all the things that this wealthy man had. He was blessed. Why was he blessed? Because Abraham looked forward to Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham was trusting in Messiah, and so he was blessed. And you know that in Galatians, Paul tells us that we can be blessed by Christ because he was made what? A curse. Those are the two great categories. You have God's favor or God's wrath. You have his blessing or you have his curse. And right at the center is Jesus Christ. And you're either in him and blessed or outside of him and cursed. And there are so many people in this world who are outside of Christ and have many things and think that it is well with them. And God's final verdict on their lives, if they remain outside of Christ, is cursed. Depart from me, you cursed, into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And no amount of earthly temporal blessing will change that ultimate eternal reality. But in Christ, and through faith in Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. Abraham was blessed, and you are blessed. If you're in Christ, if you're a child of Abraham tonight, having the faith of Abraham in the same Messiah, Jesus Christ, then you are blessed. We need to be reminded of that, don't we? That we're blessed people. Because so often we live by sight and not by faith. And it's easy to do. And here, after all the years of Abraham, God wants this fact to be highlighted in his life and the great fact of the lives of all those who follow in the faith of Abraham. You are blessed. You are blessed. And notice the scripture here says not that simply that Abraham was blessed and the Lord blessed him. What does it say? At the end, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him. And then what's the qualifier? In every way. Literally, the Hebrew just says, the Lord blessed Abraham in all. In all. In every way. In every circumstance. In every situation. In every day of his life. Following God, looking to Christ, Abraham was blessed. That's an amazing statement. The Lord blessed him in all, in every way. Because we need to think, what did that entail in the life of Abraham, that life that we've been studying for some months now? Because this is the divine verdict, that in all those things, in all those days, in all those ways, in all those circumstances, Abraham was blessed. Well, what were some of the things that were involved in his life? You know that his life, and we've seen it in several places, was marked at times by great sin. Wasn't it? He was a great man who fell greatly at times. You remember, boys and girls, how he lied about his wife. And then he did it again. He was that repeat offender. We have the record here of Abraham's great backslidings, his great falls into sin. But God says that the Lord blessed Abraham in every way, in all. Now, I'm not trying to say here that let us sin that grace may abound. That, Abraham sinned and was blessed. Well, we should sin and we'll be blessed. That, of course, is not the point. Paul deals with that in Romans 6. But here is the point. Even though Abraham sinned, he was blessed. Because he was blessed in Christ. And even as those in Christ in this world, we sin. And God hates our sin. And we ought to hate it too and repent of it. But even when we sin, friends, we're blessed, aren't we? Don't ever take it or misconstrue me as an incentive to sin, but this is the reality. Even though we sin, we're blessed. And so is Abraham. He was blessed in spite of his sin to see the mercy of God to him, the patience of God, the forgiveness of God. You know, let the blessing of God be that which helps us to repent of our sin. That even though we sin, and sometimes we sin greatly, don't we? Are we above admitting that? It's all well and good to see the lives of great men and women in Scripture who sin greatly. We do too. But you know, if we're in Christ, then we've sinned in Christ. And we're blessed. We're blessed. Because our favor with God and our standing with God doesn't depend on our own righteousness. Even when we sin, we're still Christ's. He loves us. And when He gives us that gift of grace of repentance, which He surely does to His people, He's right there forgiving and embracing and lifting up. We're blessed. You know, Paul could write, as he thinks of his life, that he was the worst of sinners. And it was true. And yet Paul is a blessed man. Abraham's life was marked by sin, and yet the Lord blessed him in every way. We have seen that the life of Abraham has been a life of struggle. He struggled in many ways. He struggled with his nephew Lot. Remember Genesis chapter 13, and they have that disagreement, and they part ways. He has struggle there. He has struggles in his family, dealing with his wife and her maidservant and all the dynamics that are involved with that. Many times we see that Abraham's life is one that was filled with struggle. Is your life filled with struggle? Do you have battles and struggles in your family, at work, wherever it is, at school? Abraham's life was filled with struggles. And yet here's the verdict. The Lord blessed him in all. Just because you're struggling doesn't mean you're not highly favored of the Lord and blessed of God. The devil wants to whisper into your ear when you're going through struggles, you're a child of God? How can you be a child of God if He's letting you go through this? But we see God's people throughout the Scripture and throughout the ages going through deep struggles. But through it all, they're blessed. They know the blessing of God. We have seen in Abraham's life not only sin and struggle, but a life of sacrifice. He's made many sacrifices. He was called to leave his country and to leave his relatives and his family and go to a place that he didn't even know where he was going. He is called ultimately to wrap his heart and his mind around the idea of sacrificing his son, giving up the thing that was perhaps most dear in his heart. And he was ready to do it. God didn't ask it of him, but he was ready to do it. His life was filled with sacrifices, things that he was called to give up, put behind him. Let go of. And we look at those things sometimes merely as deprivations and things that God has taken from us. But in it all, God says, Abraham, you're blessed. Have you been called to sacrifice things for the kingdom? Have you, in God's providence, been called to leave things? Have things been taken from you in God's providence? If you're in Christ, you're blessed. You're blessed. Martin Luther said, I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But that which I place in God's hands, I still possess. You may be called to give up many things and to sacrifice many things, but in Christ, you're blessed. Lastly, we see in Abraham's life not only sin and struggle and sacrifice, but also sorrow. Chapter 24 comes on the heels of chapter 23, oddly enough. And that was the death of Sarah. When he has to lay his beloved in the earth and bury her. That was part of the days of Abraham. It's part of his life. And Abraham was old and full of days, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. You may be having great sorrow in your life, of all kinds, the sorrows of death and of the grave, the sorrows of broken relationships, the sorrows of the heart that fill the Christian life. You know what yours are. Abraham had his, and he went through them, but through it all, here's the verdict. Abraham, you're blessed. My face is still shining upon you. You have riches in Jesus Christ. You have the peace that passes understanding. And you have the hope of glory shed abroad in your hearts. That's what our lives are filled with. Sin, struggle, sacrifice, and sorrow. But I want to remind you tonight that if you're in Jesus Christ, then you're blessed. You're blessed. You have to believe it. Even if you can't feel it very much, you have to believe it. What would Abraham say to some of his children here tonight? In terms of this verse, he would say, dear brother or sister, see your blessedness. See your blessedness. Don't let the adversary steal your joy and your blessing in Christ. He can't. So don't let him in any way. Don't give in to that kind of thinking in any way. See how blessed you are in Jesus Christ. Even if everything in this world is stripped from you, then look to Christ and see that you're blessed. I think he would also say, after you've seen your blessing, appreciate it. Be thankful to God for it. In the midst of our failings and our struggles and our sacrifices and our sorrows, we are called to be a thankful people. To count our blessings one by one, and to let our hearts be filled with thanks for the blessing that we have in Jesus Christ. And I would think related to that, thirdly, he might say, here's what I've learned through all of those things over all my days. You need to look for blessing in every situation. Look for blessing. In every situation, because in every situation, God has blessing for you. And we're so quick to look and to see everything else. But the hand of God in those situations and the blessings that He has for us. Come on in, folks. You're gonna get the Reader's Digest version of the sermon. Are you in Christ? Are you trusting Jesus? Then you're blessed. You're blessed. The world will never look at you and say, what a blessed person. What a blessed people. You know, someone's not going to come through that door and look at us and say, what stellar blessings I see here in the way that they reckon blessing. But you don't live by their opinion. You live by God's. And God says, my dear child, my face is shining on you and you're blessed. Look for God's blessing in every situation. When you sin, when you're backsliding, look for God. Look for God. There may be a lot in your heart that doesn't want to go near to God for all sorts of reasons, but that's exactly where you need to go. Back to Christ, back to the cross, and to look for His blessing. In your struggles and in your sorrows, look for His blessing. I know it's easy to be overwhelmed. I know how easy it is. And you do too. And you're just looking at the problem. You're just looking at the sadness. You're just looking at the pain. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to look at. And God wants you to look up. And He wants you to see the blessing that He has for you. And the more you open your eyes by His grace, the more blessing you'll see. You'll see it. And the more that you see it, the more you'll recognize it. And the more you recognize it, the more you'll see it. And on it'll go. Having our eyes open to the blessing of God in every circumstance. Because if you are in Christ, then after all is said and after all is done, on that day when we stand with our Savior in glory, then we too, with Abraham, will be able to look back over all of our days and say, as surely as it's written here, "And the Lord blessed me in every way." Let's pray. Lord, how easily we live by the standards of this world. How easily we just desire to store up treasures on earth instead of looking for those treasures that are in heaven, that we may enjoy even now on the earth. Lord, we're thankful for your blessings when they come. We're thankful for material, physical blessings, the blessings, common blessings of this life. We know that they are from you as well and are to be received with thanks and joy. And we're to make the most of them. But Lord, help us never to merely look to those things, but to look deeper and to look higher and to see how rich we are in Jesus Christ. So that in every changing circumstance of our days on this earth, that we would know that we are blessed and that we would take that blessing and, as Abraham did, be a blessing to those around him. Lord, as we leave this place tonight, I pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts, that we would be able to say, if we are in Christ, that we are blessed. And we thank you and we praise you and worship you for being a blessing God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.